show me what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like. Well, I guess it looks like a place like Rite Aid Pharmacy being shut down and unable to work, including most shops here in Portland, which have been, I would say, shut down, or in the words of Antifa, beautification. This is called gentrification, left-wing edition, to where may not have been able to make the stores open up, but at least we got some damn graffiti on them. Anyway, welcome back to Slightly Offensive with your favorite host, me, Elijah Schaefer. Today we are talking about all things Portland before we drop our major two-part series about what happened at the riots that the media is lying to you about. But as always, guys, these trips and all of this is made possible by our sponsor, Black Rifle Coffee. As you know, I'm the wisest person in the world, according to myself and somewhat to my mom. But if you don't drink Black Rifle Coffee, not only are you a bad person, but you're also missing out, because Black Rifle Coffee is a veteran-owned and veteran-operated business. They offer their coffee and donate bags to first responders and police, which of course are being targeted right here in Portland. But not all of us hate the police, and I'll tell you this, a lot of us love coffee, and if you want the best cup of coffee, go to blackriflecoffee.com/offensive. Use my code to find out how to get 20% off plus free shipping. Anyway, guys, they have whole beans, ground roast, and coffee rounds. Find out your best purchase today. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/offensive to find out how to get free shipping. I would also recommend the Black Rifle Coffee Club. Anyway, let's look at some footage right now and jump into some of the madness before we get into some incredible interviews with four amazing journalists who have been out on the field and can expose what's really going on.
Get the fuck out of here, Nazis! We don't need no fucking
gate! Hold the line! Hold the line! Hold the line!
Great job, bitch!
Kaylin Del Maida, he's an up-and-coming journalist who's actually doing better work than the mainstream media at this time, and he's been on the streets in Portland, all around the country, actually. And so getting your take, Kaylin, specifically on the situation in Portland, I want to ask you, so while you're out there, what do you see as the difference between what's going on every night there in Rose City versus what you saw in the occupied zone in Seattle?
Well, what we saw in Seattle was individuals who just took over six blocks and they never left. They made sure police didn't come in there, and police were absolutely scared to be there. You know, one officer told me specifically that if he went in there, he would be murdered. But what we see in Portland is 50, we're approaching 60 nights of consecutive riots and protests down there, but their main focus ever since they rioted, I think it was like 7 or 8 weeks ago, has just been to antagonize Portland Police Bureau and the federal building, the U.S. District Court down there. That's their primary mission every night, to have a protest for an hour, do 10% BLM chants. The other 90% is just F cops, basically. Kill cops, pigs in a blanket, frying like bacon, that sort of thing. And they're purposefully, you know, setting fire to things on federal property. They're vandalizing, they're tearing away at the barriers that protect this building night by night. But these are all Antifa. They like to say that Antifa doesn't exist, and that's not true. They like to play this game where they think they've been clever enough to avoid the legal definition of what it means to be an organization, but they really are, and they're not fooling anybody. In Chaz, you just saw it was like a street festival during the day, and at night you just had thugs, random thugs. You had John Brown Gun Club running security, and people ended up dead. So far, I haven't heard of anyone dying down in Portland, but they're also not terrorizing too many businesses. I have heard that recently they did raid a jewelry store, and that could have just been, you know, random agitators, random looters, random people who are taking advantage of the situation down there. But for the most part, all these people show up in Black Bloc. These are all people who are on board with this terrorist agenda to defund the police, get rid of the police entirely. And they're there specifically to create a narrative that Trump is sending in Nazi stormtroopers to kill and arrest and snatch innocent, peaceful protesters off the street. And that's only part of the story. There are moms down there as an op, right? It's an optics game where, oh, look, moms are getting gassed for no reason. That's not true. The moms show up, and that's true that they're there, and it's true that there was a peaceful protest and peaceful chanting, but they're a front for those that are inciting violence, that are starting to tear down the barriers. They're saying that it came without warning, this response from federal officers. Not true. They give fair warning every single night. They have huge radios or huge loudspeakers that say, hey, you guys need to clear the area due to criminal activity. And they'll say it and give them 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And it takes them about that long to respond. So this has never been an issue of law enforcement just coming in without warning or, you know, unwarranted police violence. It's not true.
Yeah, and that's what I'm kind of hearing a little bit about, is that these officers are sort of just imposing this brutality regime. Some people are calling it a fascist regime, authoritarian regime, tearing down peaceful protesters. But I saw a video on part two of this series on Battlefield Antifa where the moms against anti-fascism, I mean, they were attacking the courthouse. And I pointed out the fact that trying to say that moms mean that a protest is peaceful is ridiculous, because everyone knows that the craziest person in the family is usually the mom. So it's like, oh, there are moms there. And you go, that doesn't tell me that de-escalated, because every time I was in a family growing up and was at a friend's house, I know who made things go off. That was the moms. Anyway, that's a side note. But yeah. But speaking of this all, I did want to get one more question from you in particular. People are telling this a peaceful protest against police brutality. Is that what you're saying? And if not, what actually are you seeing on the streets there?
A peaceful protest against police brutality. It may be that during the day, during the first hour, first couple hours, there may be people there who believe that that's the primary reason for what's going on, but it's not. It's not. It's the cover, like I said. And what we are seeing there is people who are there just to attack and destroy the federal property. They're there for violence. They're there to create a narrative that the police are bad. And that's what I'm seeing. That's just what I'm seeing down there. It's pretty straightforward. When you're there, it's so much different. It's so much easier to filter out and ignore what mainstream media is saying about this or the stories that are being written about it, because there's always an angle. But when you're there, it's very obvious. They're constantly shooting mortar-style fireworks and explosives at these buildings and throwing them at law enforcement. They're doing cherry bombs and all kinds of stuff at these people. They bring shields. They bring shields because they know what's going to happen. They're bringing leaf blowers now to blow away all the CS gas.
I know, who knew that the protection to police brutality would have been gardeners? Talk about a need for more illegal immigration in this country, right? I mean, talk about that, right? I mean, where's Juan when you need him? And some people might call me racist for saying that, but you tell me how many non-Hispanic gardeners you've seen in the last month, and I'll tell you, the only ones you've probably seen are right now every night in the streets of Portland. Anyway, Caitlin, thank you so much for coming on. Check out his links below. Most importantly, I would suggest that you follow him on Instagram as well as Twitter. Show him some support. Thank you so much for coming on.
Kalen's nonpartisan. Kalen's not even somebody who cares about whether you're left or right. But he realizes the truth. And the truth sets you free. These are not just your average people. These are individuals who are continuing to wage a war on the streets of Portland. But that's why I checked in with George Ventura, also known as Jorge. Not whore, but Jorge. Who could tell me a little bit more from the Daily Caller about what's going on there in Portland. Welcome back to the show, George.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, I can't wait to see you back on the field, Elijah. It's been like a good month now, man.
I know. Hey, I got my COVID test back today, and it looks like I've had COVID maybe more than once like I thought. I was probably around you.
With around COVID, so you probably gave it to me.
Yeah, yeah. So if people want to know why I'm not on the field and they've made it this far into the show, it's because COVID ripped through my family after my mom died. But anyway, speaking of more happy things, let's talk about Portland. So you've been in Portland off and on. You've been around the country. What do you see as the main differences between what's going on in Portland versus what you have seen in other places like where you live in Washington, D.C.?
I think the biggest difference for me, Elijah, is just how well organized these groups are. I think here in D.C., you have maybe four or five like Twitter accounts who are kind of organizing things. And it's just like maybe basic stuff like where to go, where they're marching to. But in Portland, it's a whole nother level of organization. They literally have teams that just cook, which is the Riot Ribs in Portland that we're trying to show with our coverage. They also have their own medics. They have teams like of a, like an umbrella squad that, you know, basically is like works as like a defense line against tear gas and pepper bullets. They're just so well organized all around. And I think that's one of the biggest differences. They have kind of their own security as well. And just all around, they kind of have teams for every little thing and kind of creating their own little army, I would say. And also, I think just how persistent they are to come out every single night and then, you know, are out there clashing with federal officers until about 3 to 4 in the morning. You know, usually when I'm covering these protests, I'm pretty sure you've seen as well, Elijah, they go around to like midnight, maybe 1 in the morning, and then they start to really die down. That's not the case in Portland. It's like 1 and 2 in the morning, and it's still, you know, the tensions are high, a lot of clashes going on, and it's around 4 in the morning we see things die down. So it's just been huge differences from what I've seen from other protests.
So when Trump calls these people professional protesters, does what you see agree with that statement, or do you disagree?
I would even go maybe further, maybe just straight anarchists. You know, they are vandalizing a federal property building in the federal courthouse. When we've been there reporting, we've gotten clips of them actually try to set it on fire. And, you know, they actually have, you know, about, you know, they have federal officers in that courthouse as well. So it's to me, and I, you know, I hate to kind of coin this term, but it's kind of like a mini civil war. We're seeing Portland. I want to remind the audience, we're approaching almost 60 days of this type of violence every single night. And in one of our interviews, if for those who follow me on Twitter and Instagram, we actually interviewed a U.S. veteran who called it, according to him, it reminded him of his time in Iraq. So that's the type of stuff that we're hearing on the ground in 2020 in Portland.
Okay, so you brought up a little bit about the organization. You know, when I was covering the riots in Dallas, and we saw around the country people dropping off bricks, piles of bricks to help heed in the destruction. Have you seen weapons present, and what kind of weapons or type of maybe even outside help have you seen as the people wage a battle against the federal courthouse?
I mean, we've seen all types of things. Like, we've seen fireworks, projectiles. We've seen paintball guns shooting at the cameras at the federal courthouse. I mean, all types of weird little things. They've actually created their own shields that kind of work as like a defense mechanism. But I think to me, the biggest thing is them actually throwing fireworks and then just all types of different projectiles. So it'll be like anywhere from like a frozen water bottle to just random rocks and, you know, little things that they could use to fire back at the federal officers. So we've seen all types of things. And in terms of outside help, one big thing that I think isn't really talked about is the media, actually. I think that's actually a big outside help, because the media on the ground in Portland actually has been basically defending the whole crowd. So they'll do is they'll upload a lot of out of context clips on Twitter and things, and it'll kind of it'll basically make the federal officers look bad and make the protesters, you know, look like they didn't do anything. They never upload the violent stuff that they do. So I think that's one big thing that's helping them, because the outside narrative. And then personally, just on the ground, we've been seeing a lot of basically just random cars will drive up to these places to deliver a lot of supplies. So we don't know if that's either community support or type of organization they have, but it's really well organized. They have plenty of supplies to basically go out all night, plenty of water. They have food, medics. They have people even passing out little eye goggles for tear gas. I mean, you name it, they have those supplies on the ground.
Yeah, you know, I unfortunately also saw they were passing out small little pigs that make noise. And in fact, yep, sometimes these protesters seem a little bit like that. Unfortunately for me, I'm really hurt tonight because I was blocked by the official Twitter account of Riot Ribs. So Antifa's food supply apparently isn't pro slightly offensive. But George, we're going to hear a lot more from you in the coming weeks, I'm sure, as you and I are excited also about what's going to happen in Chicago. We may need to buy better equipment and actually some more steel plates and whatnot for guns. But anyway, check out George's links below. You, I would recommend primarily following him on Instagram and Twitter. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on. Who would have known? A person of color, George Ventura, also known as Jorge. I don't like to say Jorge because I don't like whores, but I do like George. And I will tell you this, he tells you the truth. They are organized. They are battling for the existence of their own communist state. But guys, Portland's not the only place under stress. You know, I myself have been under a lot of stress recently. My mom died. I went through another bout of COVID, which I, by the way, did not get from being uncautious. I got it from my dad, who was a mask Nazi and quarantined for 2 months. But more importantly, just last month, I finally got out of credit card debt. I ran this show on credit cards, my education, and I was over $10,000 in debt. But thank God for Freedom Financial Corporations like Freedom Debt Solutions. If you have over $10,000 worth of debt, you can find yourself free. Sometimes we get upset about communism and fascism. How do we change the culture, the nation? But we don't ever ask, well, how do we change our own lives? Not only can you help yourself spiritually by working on yourself, getting healthy, but if you're stressed about money, nothing will make you happy. Which is why if you check out freedomdebtsolutions.com/offensive, you can talk to a debt specialist today and find out how to get out of credit card debt, to find out how to get your life back in order. I don't advertise brands to you guys that aren't important to me. And that's why I tell you that this company not only can help someone like me get out of over $10,000 in credit card debt, which by the way, I'm credit card debt free today and I feel freaking good. But if you want to get out of debt today, remember that a lot of these radical left-wing agendas started from people being in debt, being upset. Find that out in part one of the show. But if you want to get out of debt today, go to freedomdebtsolutions.com/offensive to figure out how to get out of credit card debt today. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive, Mr. Andy Now.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, so let's jump right into the questions. Obviously, you've been covering Portland for quite some time, and the current narrative is that the rioters are only acting out because of the presence of the federal agencies. Is that a true statement?
No, it's false. The federal deployment of additional resources didn't happen until the 4th of July. That was just a couple weeks ago. And the riots have been going on now for 7 weeks. So for five straight weeks, the violent protests have been happening and they weren't getting any better. In fact, they were getting worse ahead of the Independence Day holiday. So what's happening is that the mayor and the senators and the governor are using this opportunity to blame President Trump and his administration and DHS for their own failure to get a grasp on the excessive criminality that's happening in the state's largest city.
Yeah, okay, so the Oregonian, I'm sure you're familiar with the publication, says that federal officers were on the scene, they said, as of June 27th, but you're saying that they weren't active until the July 4th weekend. Do you also have reports of them being in Portland towards the end of June?
Yes, there was likely some reinforcements that were there at the end of June, but the largest surge, the one that made everybody go nuts, didn't happen until the 4th of July.
Okay, so we're already 7 weeks into this. So obviously that narrative is false. Why do you think the media continues to press the overreaching narrative that the riots are only happening because of federal presence, other than to blame Donald Trump, which of course would be speculative at this point.
Well, you work in media, you know how media bias works. The local media, obviously, even the paper records are all biased, at best, mildly supportive of the Antifa cause, and at worst, I would call them fellow travelers and propagandists. But there's a lot of parachute journalists, and by parachute journalists, I mean those who are from D.C., New York, who didn't start paying attention to Portland until Trump became involved in the picture, who are now flying over and coming in, and they're getting their narrative for their New York Times stories, for the Washington Post stories, etc., from those reporters who have been on the ground for weeks. And these reporters, with all due respect, are extremely biased, and I'm being polite when I say that. I think many of them actually have bad intentions and bad faith as well in what they're doing. So they're framing this to be favorable to Antifa. All the criticisms against the Trump administration are Antifa talking points, such, and their lies as well, such as the claim that there are unidentified secret police disappearing and abducting people, you know, making comparisons to the Gestapo and other Nazi references. It's I'm sure the upcoming election has something to do to it, but this hyperbolic fear-mongering is what's causing the real surge, actually, of real surge of people going out to the streets and being violent. Let me clarify.
Yeah, and so let's talk a little about the people. So you said bad faith journalists that are out there. Obviously, someone like myself, who's really a commentator, sometimes I call myself a reporter, a C-minus comedian. That's even being generous to myself. You know, I obviously go out there with the intention of just capturing what's going on, but I've noticed that a lot of Twitter accounts have popped up that, you know, their pronouns are in their bio. They say Black Lives Matter. Their reporting seems to be like they're behind Antifa lines, almost like surrogate Antifa propagandists. What's your experience with these people?
Yes, a lot of the independent journalists whose videos and commentaries are then fed onto larger platforms are what you would call sort of behind the Antifa lines, and that they get approval and protection from Antifa to do what they want. There's been numerous journalists and live streamers, photographers who have been targeted, attacked, had their equipment taken or broken because Antifa didn't approve of their presence there. So when you see somebody there embedded and not facing any opposition from Antifa Black Bloc, that should tell you what you need to know about where the sympathies lie. And with their commentary aside, I think what happens with these short videos is that they don't provide the full context, or even the half context, because some of these videos are literally 5 seconds long or less. So sometimes what they will happen is they will put out a video that shows police, let's say, tackling somebody or arresting somebody, and they're screaming and it's a big scene. And then they don't provide the context that this is in the middle of a riot, that this person is a violent criminal suspect, that other people were assaulting law enforcement. So it's not just like federal law enforcement randomly coming out and beating up people. It's in the context of people over and over trying to break inside the building and trying to burn it down. That's a stated intention, and they actually have made attempts to do that. Fortunately, every time they have broken the windows and started fires, it's quickly extinguished. But their intention here is to kill the law enforcement that's inside the building.
And do you have evidence? I mean, have you seen in circles on Twitter or in chat rooms or wherever else you get your information, do you see that these protesters or rioters in some cases have violent intentions beyond just vandalism of the building?
They do. I mean, they write it everywhere in the city about killing cops and murdering cops and killing pigs. And they have violent imagery actually right on the federal courthouse as well as the Justice Center. And they write out this graffiti and the messages again day after day. The city in the morning is just repainting over the destruction on the city. What's really important, actually, and I commend DHS for this, is that they're leaving the graffiti up on the federal courthouse so that people can see what's actually being done to the building and what the intentions of these violent extremists are. Whereas the Justice Center, which is under the county property, they just spend waste taxpayers' money to power wash and clean and repaint every day, only for it to be destroyed again at night.
So that being said, you know, you're talking about, obviously there's a visual representation, so that leads me in this direction. Do you think that the Trump administration and federal agencies are possibly not containing the situation to the extent they're being accused of containing, right? I mean, obviously the far left media and some major mainstream publications have accused them of instituting fascism and some sort of a police state. But from what I've seen, they are not responding unless they are first provoked. Do you think that the speculations of the Trump administration allowing this to wake up the American people, for people to see the truth of what's going on in the city, is accurate? Or why do you think that they are not engaging to the level they're being accused of?
So this huge hysteria over a very, very modest response from federal authorities tells you what you need to know. And it's quite wise, in my opinion, that the federal government has not sent in large numbers of, let's say, troops or even other more federal agencies to get to clamp down on the street violence, because, I mean, what will happen is it's essentially if you break it, you buy it. And so by that, I mean, if more violence, let's say, happens as a response to troops being there, everything's going to be blamed on the Trump administration. And that's what the mayor and the governor actually want. They want to be able to wash their hands of their incompetency to be able to blame Trump, right? So the city has jurisdiction over its city property, and if it's choosing to let law-abiding citizens suffer, the public should be aware of that, and the federal government has an obligation to protect its federal property, and it's doing that, and it's doing it well, and that's angering people in Portland.
So my last question for you is, as someone who operates most of your reporting in and out of Portland and far left extremism, specifically the rise of anti-fascist militants in the area, a lot of people don't know a lot about this, and they get information. I mean, I have a lot of viewers who genuinely tell me that they didn't even know about Antifa and these kinds of things until they watched this show, until they listened to the podcast. And I'm sure you've had a lot of people that follow you as well. But for the average person who goes, if I lived there, I would be so upset. I wouldn't tolerate this. Do you think that the support in Portland is generally leaning towards the rioters? Or do you feel that there still is a large presence or a majority of people would support law and order?
Unfortunately, I think there is a critical mass of support for the rioters. That's why everybody doesn't even refer to them as rioters. This is, you know, your listeners and viewers need to pay attention to the PR angle of this and propaganda. They're all have uniformly adopted the word protester, no matter if somebody is peacefully demonstrating lawfully, or if somebody is trying to burn down and kill people, they're still labeled a protester. And that's all very intentional. And it makes it so that the public is confused, because now the headlines they're reading is that, oh, Portland police and federal law enforcement are beating up and arresting and disappearing protesters on the street who are protesting for racial justice. You know, most people just read headlines. They see the tweets, they see the posts on social media and short videos and photos that don't provide the full context. And it fuels the rage. And that's what keeps Black Lives Matter alive as well. So Portland is just a very sad example of a city that has one political monoculture. It's left, not just left wing, it's hard left. And within that, there is a far left faction, and they have a lot of sway. And I think the calculation of the local government is that it's more politically expedient to let the far left rioters do what they want to do rather than to stand up for law abiding citizens.
So, yes or no question to end the interview. Do you see the situation escalating further? Yes or no?
You know, the answer to that question is really in the hands of the rioters themselves. They make it very clear that they want to escalate. That's why every time they're repelled back, either by pepper spray or tear gas, they just regroup and they come back in and they re-barricade the building and they break down the windows and try to start more fires. So that's their stated intention. That's what they're doing. So I think the answer to that question is yes, there will be more escalation.
Okay, thank you so much, Andy. You can check out Andy's work in the links below. Follow him on Twitter, as well as if you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe to his YouTube. And I believe your podcast is also available on Apple iTunes, yes, and Spotify?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. So check it out there and subscribe as well. Thanks, Andy. Have a safe weekend.
Protests here in the city of Portland. Are you guys bored yet? I know that these stores are not. Plenty of boards to go around here, because why open up your city when you can completely abandon it like Ted Wheeler has? And that's why, rather than just showing you some of what's actually going on, which again, we're going to really get into depth and show a lot more intense and incredible footage in this coming week as we put together an amazing project. But oh, hey, Glass. I haven't seen that before. Really cool. This is like they used to do this back in 2019, but we switched to something more conventional. Anyway, I sat down with a few different journalists to talk to them about their experiences so far, to combat what the mainstream media and corporate media is saying. But before we jump into those interviews, guys, when I'm walking, when I'm running, when I'm moving, I get chafed in my legs. I'm not lying. And I've always been looking for the best underwear. That's why there's this incredible company that is supporting the show. It's called Tommy John. And they have the most breathable, nut-hugging, chafe-preventing boxers that are the official underwear of protests and riot coverage. Check them out at TommyJohn.com/offensive. Find out a gift for yourself. But also remember, because the girls don't have nuts to hug, but they do like love, they also offer women's products. Get the ladies something. Get a family member. Not family member underwear, but get them some nightwear, loungewear. Anyways, check out my favorite underwear. Check them out today, TommyJohn.com/offensive, to find out how to get 20% off your order for the best underwear. You'll be happy. Your balls will be even happier.